This week in Your Parents' Basement, we're helping yet another NBA star rescue his missing teammates from a charity basketball game, of all things. From 1994, we are playing Michael Jordan, Chaos in the Windy City by EA Sports. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is my regular co-host, Huell Hauser.
Mr. Greenwell, if you want to save your pals, come to the Egyptian room at the Field Museum at midnight. Come alone!
And my other co-host is Todd Brisket, who is not here today for some reason. But joining us instead is one of my old buddies, Dale, who has volunteered for this dangerous basketball mission.
Kaboom! Thanks for having me on, guys.
Oh, no problem. As always, you can reach us by email, parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com, or by following us on Twitter or Facebook. Subscribe to the show on iTunes and be sure to give us some stars. If you like the show, be sure to share it on the internet or with friends and family. Now you can support us by purchasing goods on Amazon. For the click-through link, visit our website, www.yppodcast.com. Today's game is Michael Jordan, Chaos in the Windy City. We're continuing our trend. We are the exclusive source for athlete-endorsed video games for some reason, even though none of us are really athletes. This week it's Michael Jordan, Chaos in the Windy City. And similar to Shaq Fu, well, MJ runs into trouble on his way to a celebrity basketball game. Well, a celebrity and charity basketball game. An evil professor, Dr. Maximus Cranium. Jesus Christ.
You sure? You got that?
It's a mouthful. He kidnaps MJ's teammates on the way to the game, which I believe one of them is Scottie Pippen. So this is not Scottie Pippen's puzzle challenge, but it's as close as we're going to get.
It's more of a prequel.
Yeah.
prequel to Slam City.
The game itself is kind of quirky, odd, clunky, and not horrible, but not great. It's a platforming game where you throw powered-up basketballs at spiders and mutated humans and other creatures. It has a surprising amount of puzzle aspects and as many keys as Wolfenstein 3D. Dale, you specifically requested to be on the show when we did it, so why don't you start us off with your thoughts on this one?
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, when I listened to your guys' Shaq Fu episode, and I had some memories of playing the old Shaq Fu, and so I heard your shout-out at the end there for volunteering for episodes, and kind of as a joke, I was like, hey, I have Michael Jordan Chaos in the Windy City on Super Nintendo. I wonder if they'll be up for doing an episode on this, and I was surprised when you accepted, so.
Oh, you actually own this game?
Yes,
Oh, wow.
No, I remember seeing the reviews for this game in magazines growing up as an 11-year-old in 94 and thinking, oh, Michael Jordan doesn't play basketball. He plays baseball now. But they got him in an action platformer now, and you got Wheaties and Gatorade equivalents as your power-ups, so this game seems cool.
But, oh, yeah, there is product placement in this here game.
But the problem was, I never saw it for sale anywhere in the wild until, three or four years ago, I stumbled upon it at this kind of small regional gaming convention they do every year in the Midwest. It's called the Midwest Gaming Classic in the Milwaukee area every year, and it's definitely not an E3 by any means, but they always have lots of used games for sale there, and I happened to stumble upon it there for, it was like, oh gosh, $5 or $10, and I'm like, all right, yeah, let's play this. And I remember throwing it in a couple of times with friends over. We kind of had a laugh at it, playing the first level or two, just kind of dunking around and up to no good. But this last few days was the most time I ever spent with this game, and my opinion took a quick 180 than my previous memories with it.
into bad?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, almost instant hatred within a half hour.
It does. It does spawn some hatred. This game, I think.
Yes.
Oh, definitely. I can't. It's hard to explain why this game is kind of. Huell, you mentioned this in passing with me when we were talking on email about this a bit, mm-hmm. about how you played this game for, I think, 15, 30 minutes, and then you had no desire to go back to it.
Yeah, I mean, I try to spread out my playing of these games, and I played it, I think, Monday.
You're a professional.
I don't want to get too burned out on Shaq-Fu and Chaos in the Windy City, so I try to pace myself. And then, like, that next Tuesday, I'm like, oh, I gotta play this again. I gotta play this more. It's just like, it wasn't, yeah, it's like, it's not flat out bad. It's just like annoying and kind of boring, I guess. I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah, that's kind of similar to my experience where
it was kind of like Comic Zone where it just made you angry.
Yes. Yes. Very much so.
Yeah. And this game definitely Comic Zone. You kind of stick with it a little bit because the graphics are cool.
Yeah. It's fun.
Yeah, this game is just there are pieces of this game that are kind of okay, but they don't have anything to do with the gameplay, which is the biggest problem.
Right.
Like the animation, I think MJ how he walks and runs around and you dunk and throw basketballs.
And he does his dunk pose, he does the Air Jordan pose sometimes and that's in there.
Yeah, all that stuff is kind of cool. And the music is surprisingly good for this game.
Yeah, you did mention that before. I would agree with that.
Yeah, it really takes advantage of the Super Nintendo. I'm guessing because it wasn't ported for the Genesis, they didn't have to worry about downgrading.
Tone it down, yeah.
Yeah, they didn't have to worry about downgrading the music.
That was weird, too, because this was like an EA game, and in the 16-bit days, the EA almost put everything out on the Genesis.
I couldn't. It's weird.
I mean, they had more Genesis exclusives than I want to say. This is probably one of their few, if not only, maybe their only SNES exclusive.
Oh yeah. Well, EA had this weird deal with Sega. I've mentioned this book a couple times, Console Wars by Blake Harris. He gets into it where EA actually did some of the first Sega sports games. Like they were brought in to do some emergency crash work on it. So that Sega could do, I think Joe Montana's Football is one of them that EA actually had to provide the programming support for. So that's kind of why they were kind of more aligned with Genesis than Super Nintendo. But I couldn't really find much about this game, just like the background on the history and, you know, why a Michael Jordan game was released in to get to the later segment, Where Is It Now? Why this game came out in November of 1994 when Michael Jordan had quit basketball in order to play baseball.
Right. Like, was it in development for, like, 3 years and then it finally comes out once he's gone from basketball? It's just like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, and also, why would you make a platforming video game with Michael Jordan? Like,
yeah, that's the real question. Like, how did this come about?
I think at this time was when players were starting, like some of the high-profile NBA players like Jordan and Shaq and Charles Barkley were starting to get like their own individual unique licenses that basketball games had to go out of their way to pay more money for if they wanted, since they, you know, like your NBA Live at the time, NBA Jam, they had to deal with the Players Union, and they had to get all the players they can into their games. But I think if you remember, like the very first version of NBA Jam had in the arcade had Shaq and Charles Barkley in there, but then they quickly got them out of the game because they got Players Union, and Jordan wasn't in there either. And Jordan was like in some like those real early 16-bit basketball games, like was it Bulls versus Blazers and NBA All-Star Challenge? And so I'm thinking maybe that's why maybe there's some craving to get Michael Jordan in some game, and this was the only game he wanted to do.
Well, I guess someone didn't listen to our NBA Jam episode because might have mentioned that. But yeah, I guess he was such a marketable star, they had to get something. But the choice of this is what I'm questioning.
Well,
why was it this?
Well, you would naturally think, oh, why don't they put him in a basketball game? And you know, well, maybe they didn't want to like cut out sales from NBA Live, but really, like they could have done something like Barkley Shut Up and Jam, where that's just a 2-on-2 basketball game, and NBA Jam wasn't by Electronic Arts at that point. Electronic Arts does the game now, but you know, at that point, I think it was still under Acclaim or Midway or one of those companies. So they, you know, they could have done why not do a dunk contest game with Jordan? Like,
yeah, just crazy move.
Yeah, he was in one of those Dr. J Larry Bird games. I think he replaced Dr. J when Dr. J retired. Because I remember playing that, I think, on the regular Nintendo. That game's kind of bad because it's impossible to do all the dunks. But
I think what they should have done is made a game where Michael Jordan eats Sweeties and drinks Gatorade and throws basketballs at zombies that have basketball heads. And no, that's this game. I forgot.
Oh man.
Well,
you know, maybe it's perfect. Maybe this is the game that should have always been made.
They do reference his baseball career in this game.
Oh. Yeah, he talks about, like, you rescue one of the guys. He's like, shouldn't you be playing baseball right now?
Yeah.
It's just like, what a dick. I just rescued you from a prison underground. You're giving me sass.
But it's also, this game's kind of bizarre because those character aspects are kind of quirky, and I actually found them a tiny bit charming, like the weird story segments between stages.
Yeah, where you can ask questions.
Yeah, when you rescue a teammate from, you know, the weird rooms they're locked in.
These dungeons.
Yeah, and then, by the way, you know, they're not at the end of the stage, so I don't know how they're finding their way out of these like dungeons and basically.
They like vanish. They like vanish into weird sparkles, yeah. And then they're gone.
Yeah.
Magic.
So I don't know what happens. It's Michael Jordan's magic.
Yeah.
Gets them out of there.
Oh, Joe.
It's very weird.
I just had to fight through, like, a bunch of golden spiders. But don't worry, you guys can handle it.
You'll be all right.
But then Jordan makes sure to tell them, work on your free throws. See you there.
Yeah. Gives me tips.
Yeah.
I'm Michael Jordan.
There's taunting between him and the enemies between stages.
It's playful ribbing.
There's only one doctor in basketball, and he's retired.
That was pretty good. I did like that line.
Yeah, like, you can kind of squint and see where, this could have been a good game, but no, it's just that repetitive gameplay. And also, the stages are kind of, like, dimly lit. Like
it is drab, yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to see anything.
Because I got up, there is... Can I ask a question? Is this the longest game ever made? Because you fight through the five stages in the dungeon, and that's only like one part of like a six-part map or something. And that felt like it took forever.
Yeah.
How far did you guys actually get?
To be honest, I got to the first boss, and I beat him, and then,
yeah.
Then I tapped out. It's just like, this is...
Because that's after five levels where you have to go rescue a guy and then get to the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you beat... Then there's that, I must say, an awesome-looking basketball monster boss.
Yeah.
Who seemed to ramp up the graphics for that.
And then
there's the map of the city, and you just have to go so far.
Yeah.
I got to the third stage... Because the next stage after that is just, like, a train stage, which is only level.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got to, like, the laboratory after that, and I'm like, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done with this.
You gotta wait for other... Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I think the speed runs of this... Well, I saw a complete playthrough of this game, which was still, like, an hour long, and that's with them skipping most of the story segment.
And they know, like, everything. Like,
yeah, and that's basically with them... Doing a long play, but they're still taking the most efficient route and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I got in the first stage is pretty straightforward, but after that, like, I got lost in the second stage multiple times.
Yeah.
So there's not much crazy of a learning curve on this one.
And I give props to that guy who must have mastered that speedrun, because that game loves to throw bats out of nowhere at you at random.
Oh, that is the worst.
And I had very near quite a few times where I almost chucked the controller because I would very conservatively try to work my way through a stage, feeling pretty good about it. And then at random, like, a little segment of a platform would just randomly collapse and I'd fall into a pit and die.
And the floors just break out from under you and you fall into water.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only one checkpoint on each stage, at least as far as where I got anyways. And so then when I found out, like, my whole 10-15 minutes of progress I got to redo. And then I try and rush through to where I got before, but then those damn bats would get me again. And I would be, oh.
Well, you were playing legitimately.
Yes.
On the Super Nintendo. So I'll give you credit for that, because I was using save states like a madman.
Oh man, yeah, that's probably what I should have done.
Oh my god, I can't imagine playing this on a regular Super Nintendo where it's
I could beat maybe two levels.
Yeah, where you don't have the benefit of realizing, oh wait, I took a wrong turn, I mistimed this jump. I don't want to have to spend a whole minute backtracking.
Oh.
It looks like the speed run for this game is about 40 minutes, 45 minutes.
Wow.
Which is, yeah, that's pretty
for
long.
For a speed run, that's a long time.
Yeah, I could have sworn, like, even like Secret of Mana, I want to say that speed run was like 2 hours. So,
right.
You know, you're at 45 minutes, you're hitting the time when you're, oh, Little Samson, which was the game we did last week, which is a 1992 platformer, although it's on the NES, that speedrun is about 11 minutes. So.
And that's kind of a long game playing normally.
Yeah.
So if you extrapolate that out, like how, that's what I was asking, like how friggin' long?
Yeah. Well, in the intro, I mentioned this game has more keys than Wolfenstein.
Yeah.
There, like even by the second stage, you still have a red key, you have a silver key, you have gold keys, and also you have like key chains and you have a singular key. And
yeah, they do different things.
They are separate items. And the game does not immediately make this clear. So I was trying to open the door like an idiot for about a minute, wondering why can't I get in this
I
door?
I have this golden key and a golden door. Why?
Yeah, the way they have their whole layout set up for all the power-ups and all the keys is a little bit on the clunky side because...
Slightly.
I really do not like how when you know there's a bunch of different types of basketball power-ups and which is kind of cool, but when you pick one up, it automatically switches to that power-up you just picked up when certain power-ups work effectively with other certain enemies. And when I'd see an enemy coming up, I thought I'd have the current right power-up or weapon to use on them, but instead it auto-switched to the last one I picked up, and I'd get lost in the madness trying to fumble through the R button to get switched to the right power-up again, and then...
You have, like, six of them to cycle through, and it's just like...
And meanwhile, some more bats come at me, and I'm just getting pissed off, and I'm just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
It was quite nerve-wracking.
Oh, the bats are bad, but the worst enemy for me was the, there are these mini spiders that you cannot – if you duck and throw at them, the basketball still goes over them. So you have to use the awkward – there's kind of like a down throw thing.
The dunk slam kind of.
Yeah.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah, the configuration for this one is kind of odd where you have two different jump buttons. One is just a normal from any game. Well, the other one is a dunk button, which you can use to trigger power-ups on hoops above you, which is kind of cool.
I did like that part.
Yeah, it's kind of cool, but it's also, well, why couldn't we just do that with the regular jump?
No.
So instead I can't think of many other games that have two different jump buttons for them.
That is an interesting point. Yeah.
I think the only reason I can think of is, like, they use a regular jump is they're just hook on to those little pulleys.
Oh, yeah.
And
you have to line up perfectly with them.
It took me forever to figure out how to actually do that. Like, there's a point where I'm like, I'm trying to make this jump, like, 15 times.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, then I realized the pulleys you could actually grab. I thought they were, like, background. Like, they can barely tell, like, they're actually part of the game. I felt like an idiot.
Yeah, because there are these gray hooks that mix in with the gray background.
Yeah, this brown hook against this light brown backdrop. It's just like, why?
Yep.
For what it's worth, speaking of the jumping animations, I did like whenever there was a basketball hoop, I just could not resist, but just to make sure I had to dunk each and every single one of them.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, that was
most fun, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they should have just made this a dunking game.
Like we said before. If it was just nonstop dunks, I would have loved this game.
They should have had like Michael Jordan playing basketball in this game. That would have been cool, man.
He has basketballs.
He's not playing basketball. Instead of making us wait till like NBA Live 2005 or something.
No, I really feel bad that Todd's not here. There's so much potential ball talk that he. You're throwing balls. You're picking up balls. You're grabbing balls. He would have loved it.
He does love that, and he also loves odd names for characters.
Yes,
like Maximus Cranium.
That is a classic.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dr. Maximus.
Yes, Doctor. Thank you. I did like that name.
I did skip ahead to a YouTube video. It sounds like none of us got to the end boss. Did you, Dale?
No, I should have. I was mean to a YouTube ending, but no, I only got up to like the second world there.
The final boss confrontation, by the way, looks pretty goddamn impossible.
Oh no.
The only way the good doctor basically turns into a big monster basketball guy.
Is it like the other one?
Kind of similar to the first stage boss, except the final stage basically takes place on a basketball
court.
It's kind of like I'm sure you guys have seen Space Jam.
I own it.
Oh yeah, I got the single for it. Quad City DJs, Space Jam. Oh,
welcome to the slam.
Yeah, take your chance.
Slam.
Dance.
Oh God, I'm sorry. I'll sing the whole song for you, but I won't.
So the final boss battle takes place on a court, kind of like that. And also, by the way, why didn't they just do a Space Jam?
I thought they did.
But I digress.
There's one on PS1.
Oh, is there? Oh, is that it's that late?
Yep, it was like 96, so it was like real early.
I guess so.
That era.
No, that's true. But anyways, the final boss is huge. You cannot jump over him. You have to do like this weird run and slide underneath him.
What?
When he has a very short animation to do this too. The only plus side is the basketball hoops are inexhaustible. So you can just keep dunking on them, and you just keep getting power ups to use on the final boss.
Interesting.
And he also throws bombs at you that you have to throw back at him. And by the way, this is. Like, this guy was doing pretty much a perfect play, and it still took him 2 or 3 minutes to beat him. The final boss takes like 70 goddamn hits to beat.
Oh no!
And once you beat him, it just goes on to a montage of Michael Jordan slapping high fives with with the basketball teammates you've managed to save.
Of course,
I think there's 21 in total. I don't know why, but you can go without rescuing one of your teammates.
I was gonna ask that. Yeah. If you just don't open the doors, you could just leave.
Yeah.
Yeah. That happened to me.
They're just trapped.
That happened to me on one. I was like, hey, I didn't rescue anyone, but I still finished the level.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Just trapped forever.
It doesn't tell you that you're about to finish a level either.
Right. Hey, so. You could just be going up a normal elevator thing which are scattered all over the game, then you're done. And it's over.
Yeah. I left Horace Grant to die in the mansion. BJ Armstrong.
Were you able to recognize? I think from the players I did rescue, I think they definitely didn't mind pretty much copying their likenesses over for the game with their jersey colors and all that. I'm like, oh, yep, there's Akeem and there's David Robinson. And
I think they kind of did that. They didn't name anyone in this game.
Yeah.
But yeah, there is a blonde white guy you rescue from a team in a bright green jersey. So they're implying that's Larry Bird.
Oh yeah. I think just from just playing enough NBA Jam, not that they're ripped right from NBA Jam, but it just seemed close enough where I'm like, okay, I get who they're going for.
looking at the enemies list, they're mostly, named appropriately. Although, again, this is funny because these are enemies in a basketball game with Michael Jordan. In a platforming game with Michael Jordan, you have bats, kamikaze bats, zombies, giant spiders, baby spiders, golden spiders, eyeballs.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
Golden eyeballs.
Did they do anything? Golden like eyeballs. They would just float there till I killed them most of the time.
The golden eyeballs they're pretty bad. Like they dart around and they shoot lasers at you.
Oh.
They're eels.
Oh, electric robot eels. Yes.
robotic monkey guards.
Oh yeah, I ran into them.
Oh, I never got that far.
Yeah.
The boss of the first area is called the Ball Bot.
That's that basketball man.
Which again, another good brisket.
The old
Bad Todd isn't here. On L Train, you just have paparazzi.
Yeah, they're mean.
Mm-hmm. In the next stage, the laboratory, you have mutants, whistle robots, ball mimics, cyborg guards, wheelie refs, which they're referees that are on a metallic wheel. Snakes, of course, snakes. An Electrobot. And then there are only four big stages.
Oh, okay. It seems
the
so
last
much
one
bigger.
Has it's slime and giant green screw thing. Which that is literally
giant
the name
that green screw thing?
Yeah, giant green screw thing is what this guide gives the name of the boss at the factory level.
What's the screws, Dean?
I remember while I was playing this that running across all these enemies you described, they just seemed like generic baddies that you'd run across in like all the old early Nintendo games.
Yeah, spiders.
EA
and,
just kind of think
floating eyes.
The only basketball related thing type of enemy we got in here were the basketball head zombies, I guess. But
this definitely has the feel of a different game that had Michael Jordan grafted.
I was thinking that, and like, what were they doing? And then Michael Jordan shows up. He's like, "Hey, put me in a game." And they're like, "Oh, this is one about the evil doctor who wants to make everyone a zombie. We just put Michael Jordan as the hero."
This was originally going to be a Bubsy game. Or I guess Bubsy wouldn't be right, but we're Castlevania because that's Konami. But I don't know. This doesn't feel like. I feel like if you were building a Michael Jordan game from the ground up, you would naturally have it be like a more like Space Jam. You would have it be colorful and bright. Like Michael Jordan isn't Allen Iverson. Like you're not going to do the Allen Iverson's Grand Theft Auto crossover that I have in development.
Or just someone boring, it's a guy from the Spurs.
David Robinson?
No, the one that was more recent.
Oh, Tim Duncan?
Yeah. It's like a Tim Duncan game.
Where you just go vacationing.
Yeah.
You just swim a lot. He's a big swimmer.
You just chastise your teammates.
Yeah.
You should have done it this way.
Guys, don't practice dunking. Practice fundamentals. In my game, you don't get points for dunking. You only get points for banking shots in off the backboard.
Don't forget to pass.
It's not a fun game, but you learn lots of fundamentals, like like women's basketball.
Oh.
Which, this reminds me, how come the patriarchy hasn't allowed a WNBA basketball game, huh?
Well, they actually want people to buy their games, so.
Come on. Come on, Huel. You know. Don't be such a cis oppressor.
I can't help it sometimes.
I want to play Sue Bird and Deanna Taurasi.
Sue Bird's like the classic unlockable character.
Go Minnesota Lynx! Woo! They're the only sports team Minnesota can be proud of.
Hey,
isn't their only team that's won them a championship? It was their WNBA team of all the major sports teams.
It's a deep cut.
Oh, that's such a sad statement.
Some trivia that I'll never need. What about
Prince's Lake Minnetonka pickup game?
Oh gosh,
Dave Chappelle.
Oh man.
Well, actually, he doesn't beat. He beats Charlie Murphy. I feel like that's your second best team.
Oh yeah, they do. They have the Vikings have an annual scrimmage on a little cruise ship on Lake Minnetonka every year. So
I thought there was more than scrimmaging going on in that cruise ship.
That's the after party. But as far as the main game go, that's where the Vikings have their annual, their version of a charity game, and turn that into a video game.
Mm. It's like a Leisure Shoot Larry.
No.
Well, I already touched on some of the history aspects of this game. This game also even It did not have a Genesis release. It also did not have a Japanese release. This game only came out in North America and Europe for some reason. There is one person, though, who did use this as a springboard for better things. That is Amy Hennig. She started out in the 1980s as an artist for Atari and Nintendo before taking a similar role at Electronic Arts. She worked her way up to lead designer for Chaos in the Windy City, although she only got the job after the first designer quit. From there, she joined Silicon Knights, and she developed the Legacy of Kane series, and then she went to Naughty Dog, where she directed the Uncharted series, which, if you squint really hard, you can kind of see similarities in Michael Jordan and the Uncharted series in that they both have kind of weird, you know, for...
Are you sure?
Yeah, both have zombies.
For a 16-bit game, like, a lot of them did not have any story between stages. Like, you know, a good portion of them did, so it's not like this game was innovative in any sense of the word, but... you know, it kind of has, I guess, a very, very weak tie. Today you can get a copy of Chaos in the Windy City for about $7. If you want the box and manual, it's a bit pricier, about $25 to $40, depending on the condition of the manual and the box. So it's essentially a common. It's not like a $1 game, but it's you know.
Yeah.
It's still below the price of stuff like I bought Fallout 3 this past week and that cost me $15.
Still?
What?
15?
Yeah. Well, for the box and the manual. If you just get it, it's like $5.
Yeah. Well, I guess this one's a little more rare. I mean, only saw it like once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know we have like a couple. We've had a few mom and pop video game used game stores where I live over the years, and I go to one every several months, and I've never seen it available in town anywhere. I only saw it one time. I was at that video game convention that had you know, like hundreds of games out there, and so I don't know. Maybe it, just up in these parts, maybe it was not a hot seller, but
maybe not any parts.
As far as I can tell, no, not in any parts. Because this, like, Shaq Fu is kind of notorious for being really bad and over the top. Sorry,
hey,
Huel.
It's going to be good.
I've seen plenty of copies of Shaq Fu, however.
Hmm.
Yep.
May have to go online.
Yeah. Well,
I have two copies of it. I did not recall buying it before, and it, like, I think both times it was like $1 or $2, and so I was just like, all right. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, there are obviously a bunch of factors into a video game's price, but Shaq Fu is cheap because it has that rare combination of it's really bad to the point where people don't want to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I feel like with Michael Jordan, like, it's, you know, it's mostly bad, but it's also, there's no demand to play it.
Right.
Like, I think Shaq Fu probably has more volume of sales because it is so cheap, and people are like, you know, why not take a chance on it for $2, and then they'll just sell it to another friend for $2.
Hey, remember this Shaq fighting game?
Remember the time when Shaq was a big deal? For the record, I tapped out on this game after the first stage. I played a bit of the train level, then I played some Civilization V and never really got back to this one for some reason.
Weird.
I know. It's funny how that goes.
I got to the fifth section of the first world there. Like, I tried to see how far I could make it with the default amount of lives, and I got to the third. No, I only got to the third section of the first world on the basic 3 lives, and then I looked up some cheat passwords, and there was one for 25 lives, and
nice.
And gave you 5 health bars instead of starting off with 3. I got up to the fifth level, but at that point I was running into all those issues I described above about just getting frustrated, and just at that point I was just done with the game.
It's a common, like, common thread, it seems.
Yeah. Well, this game also has
what was it?
When you die, you don't just either the start of the stage or a checkpoint. So, like, it's not like it, in some games I'm trying to think of a good one, but in some games you die and then you can just keep playing from there. That would have definitely helped in this one since the stages are kind of like little labyrinths. So.
Yeah, you start back, you're like, I don't know where I was when I died and how to get there again.
Unless you happen to start somewhat remotely close to that one checkpoint in each stage, you're kind of foobarred and then when you realize you aren't anywhere near that checkpoint and they start you at the beginning of the stage and it's like, oh great.
And the checkpoint is, of course, a special hoop that you have to dunk.
Yes.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah. I did like that, yes.
Now, are they the hoops that kind of make, like, the exploding noise when you dunk on them?
No, those are actually exploding hoops that kill all the enemies on the screen.
Oh, I couldn't tell. Like, whenever I got one of those exploding hoops, there were no enemies on the screen.
Yeah, usually I'm trying to kill everyone before I start dunking, and then that kind of ruins the whole purpose, but...
And when I'm playing this game, I do the same thing. I kill all the enemies before I start dunking.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Huel, did you have any more thoughts on this game here?
When I was searching for the acquiring the game somehow, the site suggested other games that were similar. And we may have mentioned some of these. There was the Space Jam game. They mentioned I might want to check out Shaq Fu. They mentioned Barkley, Shut Up and Jam. And there was also Bill Laimbeer's Combat Basketball.
Oh, no.
Remember that one?
Yep.
Yes. Okay. Because that's one that we always come up with these, like, joking around with these terrible games related to sports figures. So I didn't know if that one was known or not. And it looked awful.
Oh, you know, I have... There was
half robot people. Like, it was...
Oh, my goodness. We might have to... I don't want to play that anytime soon, but we might have to visit that.
I've only seen footage of that one played online before. I've never played it myself. I'm glad I didn't after watching that one in action.
Maybe we shouldn't do it. We punish ourselves a lot.
Maybe we'll just have to do like kind of a potpourri or a potpourri.
Or po, yes.
A potpourri episode where we just cover like three or four of these.
Maybe.
I played it for about 5 minutes once. It's a odd game because it actually is a basketball game, but it mixes in like everyone's robots.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can players, and you win when you either destroy the other team, or you score the most points in the game.
Wow.
But also,
why would you do that? Just blow up the other team.
But also, there's like a season mode.
Ooh.
So you're earning money after games, and you're using that to upgrade players. It kind of reminded me of two games that are way better, which is which is Base Wars for the NES.
Yeah.
Which is a kind of cool game where you can build up robots that play baseball, robots that play baseball.
Baseball playing robots.
Yeah, and that's actually a game that could be cool, I feel like, if they released it now. Because the default settings in Base Wars are kind of leave something to be desired. Like, it has a season mode, but it's awkward and clunky. And the other game is Battle Bowl, if you've ever played that one.
I think so.
It's... Battle Bowl is actually a board game, so once again, it's unfortunate that we do not have Todd Brisket here, since he's a big board gamer.
Exactly.
But Battle Bowl is also on the PC, and it is essentially a turn-based sports football game, where it's set up like an RPG, and you can kill other players, and your goal is to score touchdowns.
That might finally get Todd into the sports balls.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Right, well, up his alley.
Well, it kind of uses sports as the gaming device, but it's not really that different from
an RPG.
Yeah. Like, kind of like Civilization minus the management options. Like, you're not managing cities, you're just, you know, throwing a football around. Or a real time strategy game though. Except it's a turn based strategy game.
Okay.
So those games are what Bill Hambier's Combat Basketball is kind of like.
If we're throwing out oddball sports games, can I at least give a shout out to, have you guys ever heard of Barkley Shut Up and Jam Gaiden?
Oh, I've mentioned it very, very lightly in passing. Have you played through it?
I only played it for like the first 20 minutes or so, but I added it to my Steam library and was just like, all right, I got to come back to this another time, but it was cracking me up. It's nothing like the Barkley Shut Up and Jam, NBA Jam ripoff games on the 16-bit games. It's like a RPG Maker fan-made homebrew game with like Charles Barkley and all other kinds of crazy characters, and the story is just so over the top. It's been a while, but it's an RPG with all kinds of crazy. It's bonkers.
The basic plot of the game, if I remember correctly, is that Charles Barkley goes into seclusion after one of his powered-up basketball jams destroys the world.
And where does he go into seclusion? The moon?
Well, I think it destroys civilization. Oh, I kind of misspoke a little bit. Like, it wrecked order on the natural balance of things because he jammed so hard. After that day, I think he takes a vow to never jam again, except, you know, someone... Like a 1980s movie, he's brought back into the fray. Oh,
Charles got his jam back.
Oh. I need to go and play. If you do a search, it's a free homebrew indie game.
Yeah, it is an RPG, but it is, it's funny, and I also played it for 20 or 30 minutes, I think, and, you know, it's rough enough around the edges that I wasn't like, oh man, I gotta play this. But it was enjoyable. Dale, did you have anything else you wanted to share about Michael Jordan's game here?
You know, I think you just kind of hit the nail on the head there as a nice way to kind of wrap it back around to it, is that Chaos in the Windy City is best to experience only for like about 20 to 30 minutes. I think from like the first couple of times I threw it in over the last few years with a buddy who was over, I'm like, hey, check out this crazy Michael Jordan game. And we just kind of played a level and a half, so just kind of had a couple of dumb laughs at it. And that was the best way to experience that game. Don't play a minute more.
It does seem more of a novelty than anything.
Yes. Oh, man. Or you'll go crazy. I'm surprised this game needs to be featured on more and more. I played it more. It's like, I'm surprised it hasn't been an installment on Angry Video Game Nerd, because that's how I was feeling.
Oh, yeah. This game would definitely... He could do something with this. He doesn't really do that many sports games, though.
Yeah, that's right.
Is this
a
sports game?
Well, good point. But I also get the feeling that, true to his name, he is not really much of a sports fan. Like there are tons and tons of bad sports games he could get into, like... We mentioned Bulls versus Blazers. That is a I own that game. That is a turd portion of a game.
Like the only one I could think of off the top of my head, he did that one awesome episode a year or two back, the Atari Sports special, and that was great.
Oh, old yeah.
School Atari and television games or whatever, and just how basic they were. Oh man, good stuff.
Yeah, but there's so much more fertile ground. Racing games. There are a bunch of, like, licensed racing games that are just bad. Days of Thunder.
Yes. That was, like, one of the first NES games I had. I played way too much of that than I should have.
Yeah.
There's only one time. You can only have 8 cars on the track, and there was only one time I didn't finish last. I got 7th, and it felt like the biggest personal milestone achievement in my early NES playing days.
Yeah, and you have to do pit crews. You have to do pit stops, and it is the worst experience ever in a video game. Where you have to...
Is it like a mini game?
Yeah, you have to change the tires and fill up the gas in your car.
Oh, God. You just have to do chores?
Yeah. and you have to do it fast. Like,
clearly.
If you don't, you, like, you could, there, you can, it's a point of no return if you do the pit.
If you do no catching up.
Yeah, if you do the pit stop badly, like, no, there's no possible way that you can make up the time on the other racers. So.
Just like life.
All right, I think we're kind of wrapping up here on Michael Jordan. Did you guys have anything else you wanted to add about this game?
Yeah, I think it's about it.
I'm good. Give me some Wheaties.
Chug that Gatorade.
All right, moving on to the emails portion of the show. Let me just check. We actually got a fax this morning. I know. Let me get it right over here.
Thank you.
You can tell I got it because you know.
Yes.
I have paper in my hands.
I can hear it.
Let me give it to you here, Huel.
It's interesting. We have Todd.
Ridden by men who are unable to achieve on a level field of play.
Gather $1 million.
Cowards!
In unmarked non-consecutive 20s.
Weaklings!
Await instructions, no funny stuff. You guys ever played River City Ransom? It's a bummer.
Huh?
This is a bummer, man. It's a bummer.
That's...
Wonder who they have. Todd's.
Yeah, this does seem nefarious.
Who could have...
That we're possibly getting blackmailed here.
Well, they did ask about River City Ransom.
I don't know, I'm stumped. I'm no Ray Velcoro.
Who is?
I'm no Wooderson here. No Woodruff.
I'm no Bizarbidis?
Benavides? Is that?
Bag of Wheaties.
I know. There are no true detectives. There's no true detectives on this podcast. We
clearly.
Can't. I wouldn't even know it. Todd doesn't have any enemies in this world.
Who could possibly want to capture him and possibly touch him?
Touched him right on his crosshairs. Touch him right in his, touch him right in his butt near the public library.
Whoa, that's oddly specific.
Or in a dumpster. But guys, River City Ransom is a pretty cool game.
Yeah, that is the famous bad enough dude game, isn't it?
thinking
or is that something else?
No, you're thinking of bad dudes.
Oh,
are you a bad enough
dude to rescue the president?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I got that mixed up.
Best opening in a game.
I love that line. I don't even know what game it is.
No, bad dudes is just like a. It is just a side-scrolling beat 'em up. River City Ransom is inexplicably beating up a bunch of other high school students and collecting money and buying. Like it's kind of like a. Final Fight mixed with or really Double Dragon, since it's an NES game. Double Dragon with RPG elements.
And all the enemies yell barf.
Yeah. You throw trash cans at enemies and hit them with sticks and rocks and a whole bunch of other crap.
That does seem reasonable.
It is legit a pretty fun game, although I always had the problem of a lot of the early NES games you can just wander around and you have no real idea what to do or how to beat the game.
That tends to happen.
Yeah, this is definitely one of those games. Where you kind of have to rely on the broken English of people to steer you in the direction. Oh, go fight the guys by the wharf. Where's the wharf? I don't know.
The wharf.
Just go to the wharf. Well, Dale, this would be shocking if you had gotten an email, but did you get any email?
No, sir. My fax troll is on the fritz today.
Oh, that's a shame.
Huel, did you get any emails this week?
I did receive one.
Oh.
This is from ScooterButt42.
Oh, how nice. Old Scooty.
And they write, "He told me to do it. He made me. I'm sorry. I needed the money. I'm so sorry. To Huel especially." Signed, ScooterButt42.
Hmm.
So I don't know if this is related to our facts or...
Well, it certainly doesn't seem related to video games.
It seems no coincidence, I would think, but...
I mean, I don't want to sound like a stickler or a bad guy here.
Oh.
But I really wish that we did get some more on-topic video game discussion from our fans.
That would be nice.
Get out of town.
Like that, I mean, you know, I'm all for having a free-flowing show.
Look,
but...
these are fans. We can't control what they do. I mean, they're passionate about the show.
He could have at least mentioned that maybe he was talking about the fact that he's playing Hydlight or BB's Kids, and that's why
Jesus.
And that's why he's so distraught. Ugh. But has Bill Cosby ever had an endorsed video game? Maybe it's about that.
It could be. I think it's about his painting.
His painting?
Bill Cosby's?
What about his painting?
You didn't know he had paintings?
No, I didn't know. I haven't been following the Bill Cosby scandal closely enough.
Well, I don't know if it's the scandal specifically. I mean, he didn't just start painting because of that, but they were in the Smithsonian, and the Smithsonian wasn't sure whether to take them down or not.
Oh, you mean paintings of Bill Cosby?
No, he did paintings.
Bill Cosby did paintings?
Yeah.
What?
Yes.
I had no idea either.
Oh, okay.
This is like the world's worst Who's on First sketch, but...
Paintings of Bill Cosby?
Yeah, I didn't know Bill Cosby was an accomplished artist in addition to being a rapist.
Well, I don't know if he's accomplished. Just because he's in the Smithsonian, I mean, that's no big deal.
You did not refute the rapist part, though.
Well, no.
We're pretty sure he's that.
I'm not going to argue with 45 women. One's bad enough.
Unlike Whoopi Goldberg or...
Oh, gosh.
Or I can't remember the other famous person who was standing behind Bill Cosby still. Well, I did get one email.
Okay.
Oddly enough, Dale, you are mentioned, even though we did not publicize your appearance. So,
what?
Dear Dale and Huel, my favorite Mortal Kombat character, Sub-Zero. Which one is yours? Sincerely, Yukon.
Okay. I'll let Dale go first.
Oh, man. And, you know, in the early, the first couple of MK games, it was probably Sub-Zero, but the more recent ones, definitely would probably be Johnny Cage. I guess I just like his little, what's it, the force balls? Those things he throws, yes? Balls.
Something.
Force balls.
Balls.
And you can never go wrong with a good old shadow kick, so. Yep.
Of course.
Johnny Cage.
Oh yeah, the Shadow Kick is a pretty good weapon in Mortal Kombat. Is it nine or ten the newest one?
I don't even think they number them anymore.
Well, the newest one is they call it X, but they say it is like the actual tenth entry in the series. But I think Ed Boon, the creator, said no, it's actually called X, but it is the tenth game. So make of it what you will.
they did skip over like all of the middle numbers, I think. So. Like, it went from 3 to a bunch of weird tangent games to, I think, 9 or 10. So,
I like the new games. They are pretty good, though.
Yeah, I kind of like them, too. They have, they kind of don't eschew all of the weird backstory from the previous games. They instead embrace it. They go full nutso where Raiden is traveling through time now and like, doing a bunch of weird stuff.
The story mode is playing through the story mode in those games that's how all story modes should be in fighting games. You know, do a fight, then awesome 2-3 minute cutscene between each and every fight, and they rotate all the fighters out so you get to play with everyone.
Yeah, it's a standard formula.
Yeah, I definitely like that. And then a lot of them now just have, like, if you want the classic mode, it's kind of just called tournament, where you're doing, like, you fight as one guy and you take on everyone else one by one until you beat, like, a boss character, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. Best of both worlds.
Yeah, exactly. You would think you would be able to have both. Mm-hmm. In a game from, like, you know, 2015.
Yes.
Huel, who is your favorite Mortal Kombat character?
Well, we've already mentioned Sub-Zero. He was a go-to. But probably Raiden, because you could electrocute people. And he did that one where you could fly across the screen.
Oh, yeah.
And hit people, so that was fun. His moves just seem easier to do, like the combos. So I think that's why I did him often. They're the easiest to pull off, I think.
I bet you did him often.
I did him right there on the screen.
Sent bolts right through him. My favorite character was probably Scorpion for similar reasons, because I think he was probably the easiest character to use. Although, apparently, you know, in the head-to-head, like, actual competitive games that people have on Mortal Kombat, which apparently happens.
I've no doubt.
he is not a popular character because his moveset is pretty limited. Like, the spear only works on enemies that are standing up, and who are jumping, kind of. If you duck, the spear just goes over.
Jumping, kind of.
Yeah. His other power ups aren't really that good either. So.
Nah.
I used him. Mortal Kombat 2, I used Reptile. Just because of the novelty that you can now play as him so much easier than in the first game. Mm-hmm. And I didn't play Mortal Kombat 3 because nobody played Mortal Kombat 3.
I had the trilogy collection for the 64. It was one of like the first N64 games, so there wasn't much choice. And it was just like normal 2D sprites. Mm-hmm. So like it wasn't even using the actual power of the 64 at that point.
Yeah, I just had
a ton of characters.
I had the trilogy game, but I had a defective N64. I just sent it away for repairs, and by the time we got that back, we had returned Mortal Kombat Trilogy to the video store. So
we're trying to get actual 3D games.
Yeah, I was too busy playing actual good games like Mario Kart.
Right.
Mario Kart, as as you might say, Huel.
I love Mario Kart.
All right. I think that wraps up the emails here. So signing off here a little bit, Huel, anything you had to say before we signed off?
I'm glad I never have to play this again.
All right. Dale, thank you so much for being a guest. It was a fun time.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is I was telling you before we started recording that I used to do a podcast, and this is like the first time I've been on one in quite some time, so it was good to bust out the old recording equipment again here, and I listen to every episode you guys put out so far, and I like here, I check out your weekly links roundup you post too, so.
Oh, nice.
Yep. Always.
Well, someone's reading those.
I always appreciate a good links roundup article because I don't know where to look to find. I'm like, oh no, I have no idea what site I want to go to, what news stories to look up, and like, I always make sure to check out the one you guys put up and Patrick Klepek's links roundup on Kotaku that he does every week too. That's my video game reading for the week. Good stuff, and nice. I'll also vouch Console Wars book. That is a great read.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I get overwhelmed by how many kind of good pieces there are on video games now. It's amazing how much stuff there is out there. There's a whole bunch of good books out there too now. But Huel and Todd don't like to read. They're too busy.
Oh no.
They're too busy listening to their hip hop. Probably going straight out of Compton this past year.
So. I never said I don't like to. I just don't. There's a big difference there.
You're too busy playing actual video games.
Yeah.
How dare you. All right. On that note, we're going to leave for now. And here's a little snifferoo of our next episode.
Good luck!